Once again, Christmas is coming. With it comes so much: shopping, decorating, cooking, traveling. But deeper messages also abound, like peace on earth and goodwill to all. These themes are well worn by now, the common stuff of Hallmark cards. Yet it was not the greeting card industry that first helped popularize peace and human harmony as a Christmas message. In fact, it was the carol "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear," written almost 200 years ago by Unitarian minister Edmund Hamilton Sears. Innocuous and expected though it might seem now, this Christmas carol debuted to major controversy when it first greeted the public in the mid-1800s. It is in your hymnal, but don't peek at the words. We'll get there. Sears was the minister at the First Congregational Church and Society in Wayland, Massachusetts, a Unitarian congregation. He loved it there, but he needed a larger, more prosperous church in order to support his family. After serving successfully in a bigger congregation for many years, he became seriously ill and fell into severe depression. He recovered significantly, but never recaptured his full energy and could no longer cope with the demands placed upon the minister of a large congregation. Nor did his voice ever fully rebound. In the days before so many sound amplification options, he was never again able to preach loudly enough for a large gathering to hear. Instead, he was recalled to the Wayland ministry, and it was there in 1849, happily home again, that he shared a song for which he had written the lyrics years before. It was based on the second chapter of the book of Luke, which reads, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Sears lifted the biblical reference to angels, who in his day were embodied messengers sent directly from God. He softened them, making them gentler and more graceful than the ferocious beings of Judaism and the Hebrew scriptures. Today, of course, angels have multiple meanings or no meaning. Yet for many, they represent some element of a higher truth that we might cherish or follow. "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear" hit the scene at a time when, and this is a little hard for me to imagine, Christmas carols themselves were considered too casual and modern to appear at church. The outraged public labeled this new Unitarian song of Sears humanistic and secular, disrespectful. I don't know about you, but learning that made me want to take a closer peek. Its original tune was different than the one we now know, and sadly that first music has been lost to history. There is no record of it. But we are still singing those words. "It came upon the midnight clear," that glorious song of old, "from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing." My appreciation for this imagery comes from my mother, who grew up playing on the abundant rock formations of Prescott, Arizona. As a child, her landscape had none of the trees in the poem that Peter shared with us. She would climb all the way to the top of the rock pile in her front yard, and she would sing this line out loud to herself. And then she would fling herself off, transformed by imagination into an angel with majestic wings. She would bend down near the earth to touch a shimmering golden harp that rested below. Hearing about these rocks as I grew up, I was more than a little curious. The summer I turned 16, our family took a road trip to see where Mother spent much of her childhood. It was at least 116 degrees all week. I remember being pretty miserable in that rental car, although my dad has since implied that his misery came less from the heat and more from proximity to a surly teenager. But I digress. Mom's right. Arizona has amazing rocks. Sturdy, intricate rocks that just beg you to clamber up their warm, craggy surface. These are rocks that make you think an angel could be perched on top, preparing for liftoff. So my first association with our Christmas carol was those regal angels and their beautiful harps. But when I dug a little deeper, I found I'd missed the controversial part. Can you spot it? It's in between the angels and their harps of gold. The fact that they are bending near the earth. This earth, inhabited not by angels, but by humankind, by us. This is the controversy. And it was no accident. Sears zeroed in on humanity because he cared about this earthly mortal realm. And he cared about it in its present time, not in faraway ancient Bethlehem. This is precisely what makes this carol so Unitarian, and what marks it as recognizably ours even today. It came upon the Midnight Clear's detractors have not faded with time. It's still criticized by some Christians who find it disconcertingly not Christian enough, and I think they have a valid point. They note that this song doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. How, they ask, can you have a religious Christmas carol that doesn't ever even mention Jesus? Indeed, if you attend a Christian celebration this year that includes this song, it's possible that you might encounter a version with a rewritten last verse that gives Jesus and his birth a prominent role. There is a Christmas carol scholar. Yes, apparently that's a job, and no, I didn't know that either. His name is Eric Routley, and he studied the humanist theology of It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. After our carol had been around for about 100 years, so this brings us up to the mid-1900s, people were still bagging on Sears. Routley wrote scathingly, in kind of a nasty tone of voice, that in its original form, the hymn is little more than an ethical song, extolling the worth and splendor of peace. Can you imagine an ethical song that cherishes peace? Surely not the worst insult. But the New Yorker magazine of its day agreed with our esteemed Christmas carol scholar, opining that this song was just the kind of thing that we can expect from those Unitarians. Ironically, by today's Unitarian Universalist standards, Sears was an Orthodox Christian. He believed Jesus was divine, and he thought that God worked directly through him and the angels. That's probably not what most of us in this room today believe. But I, at least, am totally on board with the conclusion he draws from all of this, which is that peace matters most of all. And he takes it even further. Peace, he says, is always and forever contingent upon human response. Originally penned as an anti-war statement, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear" was written by an angry Sears, driven to disgust by the Mexican War, or as it's known in Mexico, the American Invasion. Sears bitterly opposed the U.S. annexation of Texas. This is in 1845, which led to almost 2 years of bloody battling before the U.S. successfully colonized much of what we would recognize today as the American Southwest. Sears' song took in all the killing, all the chaos. Still, it insisted, despite the suffering of war, the call to be peaceful and to practice goodwill was still just as loud and urgent in his day as it was on that Christmas midnight years ago, if we would all but listen in solemn stillness. The verse which most clearly promotes human harmony is often softened and sometimes even downright excluded when sung today. Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world hath suffered long. Beneath the angel strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man, at war with man, hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. Hear the angels sing, Sears implored, so long ago, but what about now? Do angels even bother to sing to us now? Like as we prepare this year to wind down a year in which the U.S. has seen well over 12,000 deaths due to gun violence, a generous handful of them just days ago in Colorado and Southern California. I'm not sure I can adequately express my disgust over this senseless slaughter, and I won't try. But I think Sears and his angels would say to us today just what they said when it came upon the midnight clear was brand new. They would demand that we stop complaining about the Starbucks cup design, that we stop compulsively shopping, that we stop forwarding political memes that everyone on our social media feeds already agree with, that we stop scurrying around and performing all of the busy and often very important tasks of our lives and listen in solemn stillness. This is what the time of Advent asks of us. It is a season of waiting. Not expecting in the sense that we get to demand from the world a specific outcome, but waiting in the sense that the spiritual formation expert Enuma Okoro wrote about in her book that's called Silence and Other Surprising Invitations of Advent. The more we inhabit silence, she writes, the better our hearing becomes. When we step back into the noise of our world, our hearing is a bit more fine-tuned and more likely to catch God's whispers. In this way, we learn to stay awake and alert. This, I think, is a good modern way to translate Sears. All those years ago, he hoped we would learn to keep silent, to stay awake and alert for ways to turn from violence and toward human harmony. When with the ever-encircling years shall come the time foretold, asks the song, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. Sears did not dull the impact of his lyrics by falling back on a cheesy, superficial ending, and I respect that. He can't reach across time and tell us when peace will prevail over unnecessary suffering, and he doesn't pretend that he can. Yet he does reassure me that humankind has and always will desire peace, maybe even expect it. This ancient collective longing for peace may not always be visible at first glance, especially not in recent headlines, especially not at such a frantic time of year. The human impulse for peace gets forgotten, submerged under awkward work parties to which we have nothing to wear, and buried by unreasonable expectations that this is finally the year we will finish the handmade doll clothes before midnight. It gets lost amid hatred, bigotry, prejudice, greed, all of our worst human systems. But it's there. If we listen closely enough, we will discover it waiting for us, desperate for us to hum along, to add our own verses to this age-old song. May the song of the angels, who are, after all, only metaphors for that which is beautiful and present, but sometimes hard to describe about humankind, may their song truly become our human song, as it did for my mother, many years and many states away. May we become our own angels, human angels, people of this world, demanding earthly peace on our own earthly behalf. We need not expect angels. We have ourselves and each other. Let our lives be songs of peace here on our good earth. May it always be so, and may we now sing.